Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Okay, John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You know, the Lord Jesus said here, in the world you will have tribulation. He did not say you might have tribulation. Praise the Lord. You will have tribulation. That is a given. In the world, you will have tribulation. And then he says that in me you'll have peace, but in the world you'll have tribulation. Now you see, when you see what is happening across the world right now, there's a lot of turmoil. And it's not going to stop. There's turmoil. People who once thought that they were in powerful nations and somehow they had things made up, now suddenly they realize that all that is being shaken. And they are scared because they see what is intended for them. Now, if you read, I sometimes follow some of those people who, and you see how now finally they have recognized what the systems of the world have for them. There was a time when they felt that they were kind of stable and they could make things happen from within that system of the world. And for the most part, it kind of looked like that because the intentions that, the people, the rulers of this world had not yet come out as strong as they have right now. But now they realize that you have money in the bank, it can be taken away anytime. I found it interesting the other day that a CEO of a bank, of one of the biggest banks in the world, JP Morgan, said that we should confiscate people's money to fight climate change. Imagine you're here, you've worked so hard to have your money in the bank, and you think that's your security because, you know, somehow you have a good account. And then you hear the CEO of the bank saying something as stupid as that, that, you know, we are going to take our people's money so that we have climate change. Then you realize that even in some of those countries, they have trusted a system that is so shaky that it's taking them nowhere. I was telling some people the other day how a gentleman who is 50 years old was telling me how he has, in one of those developed countries, praise the Lord, that means he's about my age, told me he has just finished paying his university loan. No, he hasn't just finished university. He finished university 30 years ago. But he has worked 30 years to pay his university loan. And he's in a developed country. Now, you realize that the developed country is here. Because for me, I finished paying my university loan when I finished what? Not loan. I finished paying my university fees when I finished university. Now, those are people who are paying up to the age of 50. But then, that is just the beginning. Because after that, when he finished university, they gave him a house. Without any money, it is okay. Then they even gave him some extra money so that he can buy a car and even buy some furniture. So he's living the good life. But in a system which has been judged. Because it's very hollow. You actually don't own yourself. Amen? Now that is actually the devil's utopia. That's what you'd want. Where everything you have can be taken away from you if you displease somebody. There is nothing that you have that is of you, that is yours, to which you have any form of ownership. So now you have a house. Now if you finish paying university at 50, and now, really, when are you going to finish paying for your house? And you can't do that. That's why there are riots across. Can you imagine there were riots which started in France because they moved the retirement age from 62 to 64? 2 years. And then the people who are rioting are in their 20s. 40 years away from that retirement age where they are fighting. But you see, they see that the reason they are rioting is not because of the retirement age. In France, they're burning police stations and all that. It's because they see the system which had been put there, which somehow they had been trained to think that is going to work for them, is fading. I'll tell you this. You look at somebody who is ahead of you. I remember one time I went to see some relative. I was in America, so I went to see some cousin of mine who was in New Jersey. So I was there, staying with her. And for a few days, I wasn't there for too long. So there's this man, an old man, who owned the house where she was staying, where she was renting. But you know those houses? So she was up almost in the attic. Those ends, eh? You had to climb stairs like this to get what? Eh. And the bathroom, they just put a... You've seen those things, eh? They put a tub like this, which is not connected anywhere like the ones you're used to, eh? It just stands alone. And then there's a wire down which goes... Okay. In the first world, eh? Praise the Lord. In the what? Yes. But now, that's not the purpose of my telling you that story. Because there are poor people everywhere. But the thing is, the man who owned the place, I even remember his name, but I won't say it, was in his mid-70-something, and he had spent all his life paying for that car house. So he would stay on the lower floor, rent the car middle floor to someone else, and then my cousin was staying on the what? The rooftop, where there is a view. Thankfully, there is no sun like here, otherwise you would bake. And that's all his life. Like in that car house, that's all his life. So the man would wake up in the morning and I would see him. He wakes up, sits at the veranda and looks, maybe gets a cup of tea and water. And, it must have been like 70 something. And he's the only income, source of income he has is the person in the middle floor. And my cousin, the what? The upper floor. Who are still working and are of able-bodied age. Then the man said one day and said, you know, I'm tired of staying here. It was a bit urban. So he said he wants to go back where he was born, in North Carolina. And he said, I want to sell this house and go and find something, you know, in North Carolina. And what I found sad at the time, even if I didn't know some of the things that I know now, is that basically, he was saying, I want to go and die. And he has worked all his life. And this is it. A car house there. And there are so many like this. There's a street like this of houses like that. Eh? Then some young men this side smoking all sorts of things. And then with bikes, these motorbikes, which make a lot of noise. Eh? So in the during the... Then he goes up there. Then he comes back. The whole day. So I ask, these are young people. And they working anywhere? And they doing anything? They say, no, they're on welfare. And they look and see, even if they worked, they would be like this man. So like there's something, there was a despondency about it, where I'm thinking that life cannot be like this. Where you 75 and you're just a wooden house. It was wooden, by the way. It wasn't like these houses of yours, which, you know, concrete. Eh? But it was a house. And at least he had a place to sleep. I said, man, life can't be like this. So this is it. So eventually, I was told by my cousin when she came here to Uganda that, he sold and went to North Carolina. In the meantime, she moved, of course, got a better job, and blah, blah, blah. But, and there he went to North Carolina to do what? To die. Now, that is the system that the world has crafted and made people think that it is first world. But actually, it's slavery. Like they drain you of all your energy. You are a factor of production. The same as land, the same as capital. You are labor. You're not Joseph Kabuleta. No, you're what? Labor. They take away your individuality. And you just become labor. And that's their system. It has been crafted wonderfully. So when Jesus says that in the world you love tribulation, it is a guarantee. That is the world. That is the system of the world. It doesn't get any better than that. It is guaranteed. You will get what? Tribulation does not mean we are being persecuted for being Christians. No. It means that There is nothing desirable about your life. Now, you look at that man. And by the way, I remember looking at him and saying, you know what? I'm going to try to make things work in Uganda. There is nothing that is going to make me come and live in America. I was still younger, at an age where I could have done things which other people do. But I look and I say, what? You see, you have to have the sense to see the direction something is going. Eh? Then you say, so I come here and I work to be like him at 75. No. There is no way I'm going to Uganda. At least in Uganda, I hope I will have some piece of land. Some, you know, eh? Like there is something. But now, that is it. The man, he waits for the month to end. Then he comes and asks my cousin for a rent. Then what? Then he goes to the store nearby. Then buys some, you know, groceries. Comes, puts them there. No wife. Probably divorced. His children also hustling somewhere. He must have had some children. Also them trying to end up to be like him, eh? Then he cooks for himself. And man, he looked so miserable. Like, and I said, eh. Now, that is the world. Praise the Lord. And that's what Jesus says, in the world you'll have what? Tribulation. Of course, I was born again at the time. And I knew that this cannot be what God wants for me. He's got to want something better than this for my life. My life has got to have a lot more meaning than this. It can't be like this. By the way, even if he was born again and died and went to heaven, it would be such a waste of all those years. Now, in the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, the thing is, so many people do not realize that the world is not going to get any better. Amen? It's not going to get what? Better. It was designed like that to be because Jesus said, because you know who the God of this world is? You know who he is? Go to 2 Corinthians 4:4. Whose mind the God of this age, or in other translations, the God of this world has blinded? Talking about the devil. So the world, that is the world of the devil. The God of this world. And this is not before Jesus died. This is after he died. So he's going to continue being the God of this what? World. Now, that's why he says you do not belong to that world. You think the devil is in the process of making things better? Now, actually, let me tell you. Given now what these people are doing in the world, that old man there will be the lucky one. It's going to get worse. Because interest rates are going up. Now seeing in some countries people who have good credit rating are the ones who are charged a lot more. And they make sure they, because the devil is the god of this world, he makes sure he messes everything up to make people's lives hard. And the devil is not in the business of making anyone's life easy. Even those who serve him, he hates them. He hates everybody who was created in the image of God. He hates mankind. That's why even those people who serve him, he makes them do very dehumanizing things to give them power. Because he hates God and there is nothing he can do to God. But he knows God loves men. So he knows the only way he can hurt God is by dehumanizing these people who are born in what? Who are created in his image. So even the people who serve them, he makes them eat feces, he makes them do what? These people whom you see talking very big on TV, when they go there to get power, he dehumanizes them. And that's the price. Then they come and tell you eat cockroaches. Why? Because they've eaten them. There is nothing they will tell you to do that they haven't already done. And now that's it. So you want to become powerful in this world and so on, in that system. Eat feces. Or things like that. I met a woman, actually, who was married to a rich man. But this rich man, of course, was very ritualistic. Was into rituals. And the covenant of his wealth was that for him to be wealthy, he and his wife had to make love in feces. So when they are going to make love, they first what? I'm not talking about a story, I'm talking about someone whom I know. But she's driving a Range Rover, she's what? They stay in a big mansion, that's okay. But when it comes to that moment, you have to do what? Hey, you have to first lay the bed. Man, the devil is mad. And he just sits there and laughs. And of course, like you said, now look at these guys. And you see, there's something about the devil and feces. You know, you don't know, eh? Beelzebub, eh? Means Lord of the Flies. Eh? So now, the woman comes and she has a very good car, the most expensive perfumes, but an odor coming out of there. That is what? That cannot be quenched by perfumes, man. And now that is the covenant. Praise the Lord. In the world, you'll have tribulation. That's those are the things which they do. Because the devil is the god of this world. Jesus said in the book of John 16 that the prince of this world has been judged, and the world with it. Now, demonstrations across Europe, demonstrations where everybody very angry, and what? They are angry because they expect the world to get better, and the bad news is it is not. There is no chance that it's going to get better. It's only going to get what? Worse. Now, that's why Jesus said that you are not of this world. And then he prescribed a system of which you can be in this world, but you are not of it at all. There is nothing about it that affects you completely. And he put a system there. And that system is very, very simple. For you to get those things for which people are sleeping in feces, for you to get them in a very, very simple way, in a way where you retain your dignity, you understand, eh? The way God wanted it to be. Now, he designed a system. And now, I told you the other time that we are going into a time of ownership. And now this is what I'm telling you here. A system that is so simple, but for some people it is very difficult because they prefer to stay in the system of the world and God blesses them from there. And he can only do to a very limited extent. So imagine you're going to finish university and go and maybe look for a job, even before you finish university. And you pray, God bless me and I get a job. Or let's say you're going to do some business and say, God bless me and I get, you know, some good business. And in a way, he does that. But that's not where he wants you to be, because you're still in that system and he prefers that you be in the system where he is, where blessings are automatic. Praise the Lord. Now, then you look at people like that old man and you pity them because you know better. In that world, there is nothing that is guaranteed. You will never serve the devil and you have any guarantee in your life. Never. He makes sure that you always struggle. Like, man, the guy is a sadist. Now, I was speaking one time to some rich man. I went to him because I wanted money for my wedding. He actually helped me a lot. If I mentioned him, you know him. He's one of these rich men in town. So what he did, he even got on the phone and called his fellow rich men. I said, Gundi, embaga ya kablete tu, so it was sent to Mecca. So he started gathering money for me there. You were talking to people whom I couldn't go to. I remember one of the people he sent me to was, you remember the guy called Zimwe? He sent me to Zimwe, and so he just wrote, Otuwa Meka, onukablaeta to mmanyo wa maulide. Let us send it. So you'd write down. So now he gave me a list of people to go and kubanja after that. He said, onagambi agera tuwa milioni, onagambi agera tuwa mtuwa la tad. So, okay, you know he helped me. But then, what amused me is, then I went around now in my car, you know, my Toyota Corona, looking for what? For those guys to give me the money. And actually, it helped me a lot, you know. But that's not my issue. The issue is that this man, with all his wealth, I remember him saying that the other man is very lucky for him tie in Zakugwa. Now, I know this man to have very many buildings in this city. He has hotels, he has what. But still, his mind is he can what? He can kugwa, collapse. And then he's mentioning another man who he says, for him is lucky, he cannot kugwa. His empire cannot collapse. And yet, if you go to the other man whom he's talking about, the other man also is talking about some other guy who cannot what? Even if you're biggest, he will make sure you never have any guarantee. There is none. You can lose it all tomorrow. Go and vaccinate and kill people. Others, I'm going to take your money. And you can take it. Nothing. And the man, the world, you will have tribulation. That is guaranteed. That is, the devil will make sure in the world you have tribulation. I'm telling you this because some of you think that your blessing lies in a place where you are there, but somehow you're the one who is blessed there, in that place. No, but you're not supposed to be there in that place in the first place. Amen? There is another place where Jesus prescribed for you the means by which you can come out of that worldly system and design your own things which are not in any way connected to that system. And you can sit back and you have a sense of assurance when everybody else is, you know, crumbling, trying to reach out for something higher. And for you, you're comfortable. So, these things I've spoken to you that you may have peace. Because that you will never have in the world. Now, there are people in the world who deceive themselves. If I have this amount of money, I'm going to be. They will not, even if they had it. Even if they got it tomorrow, they will not. In the world, you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So that means I've created a system that is completely different from that. First, go to Luke chapter 12. Start from verse 1. It says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together, so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Go to the next verse. Then he says, there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Somebody say, there is nothing covered that will not be what? And there is nothing hidden that will not be what? Okay, go to the next verse. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the what? In the light. And whatever you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed where? Now. I want you to imagine, what if the things you said about yourself were definitely going to be true? How seriously would you want to control what you say about yourself? If everything that is said in the dark becomes true. So if you say in the dark, I am a millionaire, Jesus said automatically, it will what? The system that makes it come true is not yours. You're not the one who said those words. I want you to understand that there are things which God left for himself, and there are things which he left for you. Now, when you put a seed in the ground, you are not in control of the system that brings that seed out and it has sprouted. God put that for himself, okay? So for you, your work is to put the seed where? Now, if you do not put any seed in the ground, nothing comes out. But if you do, you have no control over the system. What will come out, whether it is what you want or not. But what you put is what is going to come out. Now, he says there is nothing spoken in private that will not be spoken what? Praise the Lord. So if Kableta says privately that I am the president of this country, very soon publicly on the rooftop, now, there is nothing any human being can do about that. Jesus said, therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Everything, good or bad or what, everything that you speak about yourself in the dark will come out to light. So if you say, Kableta is a millionaire, and you say it, 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 and you refuse to accept any other thought that comes that tells you, but where is the money going to come from? The system that brings the money has nothing to do with you. If I put maize in the ground and I say I'm going to harvest maize in 3 months, am I going to say who is going to make the maize grow? Am I the one who is making it grow? Now, Jesus said, whatever is spoken in the dark will be spoken in the open. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Now, you imagine, there are people who right now people think have money, but every day they are looking for extra money. And when they see money, they are like, man. And yet outward, let people have this impression that they have money. Because they are in the system of the world, and that's what it is. There is no guarantee whatsoever. Now, the guarantee is you speak something, and you know that the system that brings it to come to pass is not you. Let the person who said these words make them come true. Amen? Are you the one who spoke them? The system is there. And you do it, and it works for you. And the thing is, the problem is so many people have mixed words, and they do not necessarily stick to one line and stick to it and speak it until they can see it, until it comes to pass. They know, as soon as they speak it, they come back in the world. You know what I mean in the world? Starting to expect that your blessings are going to come from a worldly system. Because you don't trust the other system. You think it is very simplistic. What do you mean I can just speak and then it comes to pass? But you're not the one who said those words. Whatever is spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. Glory to God. Now, if I want to know what you've spoken in the dark, I just look at you right now. You are a reflection of everything you've spoken about yourself. Right now. You just do not know it. Let me tell you something. If I told you that this water has a little poison, but for it to work, you have to take this water, a lot of it. Not just a little. But there is poison, but maybe you have to take like 20 liters for the poison to be effective. How many of you would take this half liter? Now that is how it is with the words that you speak about yourself. If you knew they were poison, you would never stand there and say, I'm broke. You never stand there and say anything that it puts up in that what? In that line. You would not, because you're swallowing poison. It is just as effective as real poison. Only it might not be instantly effective. So you do not know that at some stage in the future, you are going to reap of that word. And then somebody will not accept to listen to anything different. Now, when you understand that the system that Jesus designed, or that the Lord designed for us to be blessed, is all about what is inside us. Amen? You know that how does somebody start a business and it becomes a world business? You cannot, unless you've constructed it inside you, you can't. Glory to God. You can't. Everything that you are, you have to construct it inside you. Your business is as big as you inside. If you're thinking inside is like grocery, don't think you're going to start a chain store. You'll never. But then, the beauty is, you can go and construct it away from that. Now imagine people wake up in the worldly system and go and work for 8 or 9 hours, sometimes 10 or even 11, 12. And then they go home and they don't have a single minute to construct their life from within. And they are definitely going to be slaves all their lives. You know, in Egypt, the children of Israel were working hard. And when the time of their redemption came, Pharaoh died. And now when Pharaoh died, I think they had some days, over 40 days of mourning Pharaoh. So in those 40 days, they were not working. They had a public holiday for what? Now they took that time to actually go and cry out to the Lord. Because now they were not working. But I'm telling you the system of this world. Now I remember also some years ago, about 20 years ago, I was in one of those so-called developed countries. And I call them so-called because it is a deception. Deception. Now there's this guy I knew who was a good guy. So he invited me to go for a wedding in the city of London. And right in the center of London, Waterloo. And what I remember about that wedding is that it was Ugandan guys and Baganda. What I remember about the wedding is that there was not a single word of English spoken. Not one. The songs were all Luganda. The ministration was all Luganda. They never mixed even Luganda. They could not say Azereti. They would say Azechikerezi. And I said, hey, these guys, you're in the middle of London and you can't even honor these people with even this one use of nothing. So I was amused. The songs were all in Luganda. The sermon Luganda, the vows in Luganda. Not a single word of English. Anyway, but that was besides the point. My point was, so we finish the wedding and we go for a reception. And then this gentleman invites me to go and spend the night at his place. So I go there. He's married. He has 2 young kids and so on. So we arrive Saturday evening. Then on Sunday, I asked him, because I knew he used to have some form of godliness. So I asked him, not going to church? He said, man, here the church. Church here, that thing is just squeezed out of you. I said, what do you mean squeezed out of you? He told me, I have to leave home at 6 on Monday. I drive my daughter and take her to the daycare. And then I drive towards London, but I do not have a parking spot inside the city. So I park my car somewhere out and then take a train into the city. And then I arrive in the city and I leave work at about 5:30. Not about, actually, everything is exact. Then he says, I have to jump on a train, get to where my car is, drive my car, go and pick my daughter. And the daycare closes at 6:30 on the dot. If I am not there, I will find my daughter outside in the cold. They don't play games that I'm late, traffic jam. No, those are yours. Our agreement is we are keeping her from this time to this time. So he said, you can't be late, otherwise you will find your young daughter seated outside in the cold. And then you come home. He says, I pay for cable TV. I have not a minute to watch it. Because you arrive home, sometimes around 8:30, you're tired. You're tired, you're exhausted. There is TV which you pay for. And this is not even a poor person, because he owned his own home somewhere near London Gatwick Airport. And his wife had a nice car. He was also driving a nice BMW. So these are not poor people. These are not the typical Cheyo people. Then, the next week, again. So now Saturday, you arrive home at around 4. You're tired. That's the only time maybe you can watch some TV. Sunday, you have to be home. Church? No, you're kidding. I'm not going to church. So on Sunday, I had to take a train back into London City, and I was going to Manchester. I think he couldn't even drop me. And you could see why, because Sunday is the only time he had home. Now let me tell you, you go there with your Mukama Yebazibwe. After 3 years, they have cleaned it out of you. That's why those people end up atheists. That is the system of Pharaoh. The system of Pharaoh makes sure you have no time. You're working, working, working. There is not a single moment. And now that will keep you away from this life which God gave you, because this life has to be constructed at some time. So you don't even have an hour to go at night and start speaking things about yourself. Now I'm telling you, when I got to know this, I would wake up in the morning. Thankfully, I did have a job really. My job was to do this. But I wake up in the morning and go and speak things. I'd even written them down. Speak things about myself. I am blessed. I am this, I'm that, and that, and so on and so forth. Then at some stage, I started actually feeling blessed, which I was still broke. Okay? But I was feeling blessed. You couldn't convince. Then, it gradually, you construct it until eventually it becomes big. That's how you build something which is bigger than yourself. Where you see one man has a whole empire. But it is inside here. You know, there is some rapper whom I will not honor with mentioning his name. He said, I'm not a businessman. He said, I am a business man. You cannot become what you have not become. You have to be the business. You understand? Eh? It has to be you. So you construct it from within you, and then it grows and grows. It will grow in accordance to how you're growing. Behind the closed scenes, whatever he said in the darkness. Let me tell you. You see this Watchman Fellowship? I had some people here. Some of them left me, and I can preach better than him. There's one who said he came here to teach me spirituality. Then he went to start his own ministry. And he thought that you can start a ministry which is bigger than you. You can't. This whole thing is here. If I diminished here, you would see. It is all inside you. You can construct anything you want in your life here. Just take time. 1 hour a day, I will start from there. I will not even disturb you, because you have to go into the world and try to make things happen in the world, even if they are not going to happen. Amen? Yeah. But for you to be completely convinced that it all lies inside you, just take 1 hour a day. And then give it 3, 4, 5 months or 6 months. You will see how, like slowly, it starts working out in a certain way. Some people think that you can cheat the system. You cannot. I remember a man who came here, and some pastor was telling me, that man was so angry. He went and prayed for some lady in Asia over who was sick of what? I don't know. But eventually she died. Anyhow. But he said that the lady said she's going to give him $1 million because she had it. So she said, I'm going to give you $1 million. She was in the process of doing it, and then she died. And then our children said, no, we are not part of that arrangement. So the guy came here, every time he would be broke, he would curse the day that he did what? Died. But the reality is that if you are not $1 million inside here, you will never get them here. Praise the Lord. You will never, even if somebody will die, somebody will do what, but you have not constructed them inside you. they will never materialize outside. But the good news is you can do it inside here. Like, the system is there. Jesus put it, praise the Lord. He said it here. Whatever you say about yourself in private, when nobody is seeing, will eventually come out. What? So when Pharaoh died, these people started calling out to God. Because that was the only time they had some time to cry out to God. And now guess what? When Moses came, who was the answer? And he went and talked to Pharaoh. Guess what Pharaoh said? What Pharaoh said is what the devil says to you every day. The children of Israel want to go and take some time away and worship their God in a 3 days journey. Then Pharaoh says, you guys are idle. That's why you're asking to go and what? Worship. So increase the amount of work they have to do. Now that is how the system of the world is. Once the devil sees that you're going to get, he will increase. He wants you to be in that area where you're working, toiling. The things we talk about of ownership, you cannot own them the other way. The other way, those people are actually gathering for you. The system I'm telling you is the one which is going to bring it to pass. Amen? Amen. There are people who are warming a seat for you. That is guaranteed. Now, in the world, you have tribulation. But here, you have peace. You sit down and you start constructing inside you. What does it take to construct? Think about it, talk about it, and behave as if it's already there. Call things that are not as though they are. That's what God does. Romans 4:17. That's why he says, let the weak say I'm strong. Because you're weak. But that's not your reality. Your reality is what something else says. So you say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm what? Yes. Let the blind say what? Yes. As it is, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, when you call things which do not exist as though they did, I am a millionaire and somebody looks at you and don't even have money to pay your hostel fee. Now you are being like God. Because God is the one who calls things that do not exist as though they what? Exist. And you just call it. Can you imagine Jesus giving you something as simple as just say? Just say. Say it in your closet. Or Sirike. Praise the Lord. Okorechi? Yes. And now, you wait, you'll see. Now, when it starts bearing fruit, you go to Mark chapter 4. And you see some people, first of all, before you go there, you see some people want it to be that it is up to God to bless them. God bless me, God bless me. There are things he has put inside his docket and those which he has put for you. Now, you have to distinguish which is which. What is God's work and what is my work? Now, in this case, my work is to speak and affirm and say it authoritatively as though it was. His work is to make it to come to pass. Not me, praise the Lord. Who makes it to come to pass? Not you, just say. That's what he says. Now go to Psalms. This is what he says, Psalms chapter 1. Because you see, people want to make it look like, that God would bless me. That is Old Testament prayer. New Testament prayer is you are responsible for your own blessings. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, who decides where you walk, where you sit, and where you do what? God? No. The counsel of the ungodly are those who are in the world, who are telling you, man, you have to work, you have to toil, you have to do this. And some of you are in the world. And when I say in the world, I mean some of you are born again, but they trust in the worldly system. I told you some friend of mine who is a preacher, who they came and some man of God came and told him, man, that Katonda watu kilo kugulire sati. That obobuli denjiri. And now imagine he's sowing something like that inside you. But this man, thankfully, was wise enough not to say that's not the God I serve. Where I have to first preach the gospel for 10 years to get a shirt. In the meantime, what am I putting on? So he said, that's not my God. Now, the guy whom I'm talking about drives an X6, what? Because he refused to believe that. Now, you can believe it and it will be true for you. Now, that's what it means is you do not sit in the council. In the council. Because ungodly people know how to counsel. Amen? They come and tell you, if you've had that counsel of stupid people, and they think you're the one who is stupid. I remember some time ago I told somebody that don't worry, when I was soaked in this speaking things and I was confident about them, and somebody said, but you know, you're not even doing this, you're not doing this. Then I told the person that don't worry, when my financial situation changes, I'll be able to do that. Then she said, changes how? By faith. I said, okay. The answer was yes, by faith. And yes, it changed. By what? Yes. Don't let people, don't let stupid people make you despise things which actually work, which the Lord Jesus Christ prescribed for you and said, don't, the world, the system of the world is different. You chill. Me, I have mine for you. Where you sit and chill and have a cappuccino and start proclaiming wonderful things. And my work is to just hear and make them come to pass. How can you have a better deal than that? Now, you see, sometimes you have to be reminded of these things because you say that, I knew this. No, you didn't. If you did, you wouldn't be where you are right now. Glory to God. If there is any time when you are not proclaiming things, when you want businesses which are bigger than what you've constructed inside here, you're deceiving yourself. It will not happen. Anyhow, okay, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, the counsel of the people who are in the system of this world, who tell you, you know, you have to do this, you have to do that, make sure you save here, make sure you do this, put something away. What? If you have a job like this, make sure you steal some money. Now, that is the counsel of the what? Of the ungodly. Praise the Lord. I was on a political talk show someday, and people told me that, but man, you man, you people talk like this. But after some time, we hear that also you went and met the man. And now you start speaking in italics. I told them that he has never met anybody like me. Because I know the system. He's in a system of the world where he has even to first put up homosexuality to get money from Bazungu. Do I need any money from Bazungu? I don't. I know where my money comes from. Here. Imagine God has put a system. And somebody tells you that, do this and this and this, I'm going to give you maize. Yet you know you can plant one grain of maize there and you get a cob of maize after 3 months. Why would you beg the other person when there is this system over which he has no control? Amen? So I said, I can't. He has never met anybody like me. Yeah, you know where I get my things from, and it is guaranteed. Actually, I'm more guaranteed than him. Now, when you are in the system of the world, you will never have any guarantee. That's why you will keep on fighting, stealing, going for everything. What? Because there is no guarantee. And the devil will make sure you never have a guarantee. On top of other things which he makes people do. So you go to a witch doctor and tells you, Yavula, from here up to where? Up to there. Then you go and you... Praise the Lord. You go and be dehumanized. For me, I'm here where the Lord is, where I have dignity. Praise the Lord. Now, blessed is the man... who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen? Who walks not in the counsel of what? Nor stands in the path of sinners. Now, don't look at this in the form of sinners, the way you've seen sinners, that you are going to be. But that worldly system. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful, of those people who are dehumanized because they want money. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, which is spoken here now. Praise the Lord. You know that this is where my prosperity is, and it is there. None of those people created anything. The devil did not create anything. The person who made all the wealth in this world is the one who is telling you these things. And then he says, and in his word, he meditates day and what? Now he speaks things about himself based on the word of God, based on this, based on what he desires for himself. I desire this, so just speak it. Go ahead. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall never wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now imagine, there are people who are concerned about the collapse of the banking system, collapse about what? But the word says here that your leaf will never wither. dry season, wet season, your leaf will never wither. Now, that's what we mean getting out of Babylon. And now I'm telling you where the world is headed right now. You have to get out of Babylon. If there is anything of yours that is dependent on the favor of man or on anything man can do, it is going to be shaken. Because remember the scripture says in Matthew chapter 13, I think verse 15 or 15, 13. It says that whatsoever the heavenly father did not plant would what? We are uprooted. Now the time of uprooting is now. But you see, when you base it on this, everybody else around you is uprooted, but you are not. You're strong. 15:13. And Yahshua said, every plant which my heavenly father has not planted will be uprooted. That is a fact. But go back to the other side. It says, whatsoever he does will prosper. At no stage here has he mentioned God. Has he mentioned God? Except the law of God, which you already have, or the word of God. It is not up to God to bless you. It is up to you to bless yourself and to speak things about yourself that you want to see. Just that, speaking things that are not as though they are. And you affirm them and say, that's my house. I am going to get it. Then somebody says, but now look at you. You say, it's okay. My work is to speak. My work is not to get the house. The person who gave those words, let him bring me the house. He's the one who gave me the authority to do what? So my work ends at speaking and believing. Now let him bring the house. It's his work. Praise the Lord. Now that is the system that he has designed. Now, when you get into that system, there is nothing that shakes you. When you get into that system, when you see a challenge that has come to you, let's say, and you need something, maybe which costs a certain amount of money, you don't try to look for that money elsewhere. Otherwise, you become like the system of the world. Then you say, God, bring me a better job. Okay, it's good to get a better job. But you see, you have to understand that that is not your sustenance. God, give me what? Then you say, if I have this house, then I'm okay. If I have this. That's the message that Jesus was trying to bring here in Luke chapter 15. Go to Luke 12, 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, these are the things. Wives killing husbands, doing what? Because of inheritance. Praise the Lord. Brothers killing brothers, what? Because of an inheritance. Because they are looking at the substance. But they don't know that. How many people have inherited big things that have wasted them? The system, I'm telling you, anything that comes to you goes nowhere. Now, you see, and now this desert has become major, man. If you even watch those, you know, crime channels, Discovery ID, almost all the time, a man dies or a woman dies, it is either the husband or the wife. And because of what? The insurance policy. And I don't know why they go and take out insurance policies. Insurance policy, if I die, my wife gets $800,000. She's going to kill you. Okay, not all of them. But even here in Uganda, it has started. Not the insurance policies, but the property. Isn't it? But now someone says, Lord, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, he was talking to a man here. Now he's telling all of them. There was a whole crowd. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Praise the Lord. It does not consist in the things you possess. It consists in what you possess inside you. Amen? So they can chase Kableta away from here, and I go to exile. Glory to God. I'm giving an example. I'm not going to exile. But I'm giving an example. And I land in a country where I know nobody, nobody knows me. But the system that made me here will make me there. I leave everything here and go with it. Glory to God. And nobody can take it away from me. But now I'm saying it for the benefit of you people out there. Even a job you want, you can construct it inside yourself. Don't just go and say, I'm looking for a job, a chija chije. Really? Take time and say, I'm getting a job. I prefer to work in this place. This is how I want my office to look like. And this is what I want my salary to be like. Glory to God.
Take time when you are alone and say it to yourself when you are alone. Now, when you step out to look for a job, you'll find that it's like that. I wish I could tell you so many testimonies, mine and for other people, who just did that. Because the world would want you to go immediately and start wearing out your shoes looking for a job. But the system of God says, no, first make it here using this system. First construct it here. When you step out there, it will be waiting for you. Glory to God. Even your steps will be led to where that thing is. Even if you are an amateur believer, your steps will automatically be led to where that sort of job which you've been constructing is. The trouble is you will speak it today, then the next day you do something contrary. They say, what kind of job do you want? I'm an in a job. But at night you were saying something, and now you've cancelled everything you said at night. So when there's, what kind of job? You say what you said at night in the darkness. I'm here, I want a job only that is going to pay me only 10 million. Other than that, but you're just out of campus. That's what you know. Me, my work is to say. It is somebody else's work to do what? To do. My work is to say. And man, so, but man, aren't you proud? Those are yours. The person who told me to go and say. Glory to God. You see, there are some people who want to give instructions when they have no ability to make miracles. You know those guys who tell the man that, how can you carry a bed on Sabbath? The man has been paralyzed for 38 years. How many Sabbaths are those? But the one person who can hear him told him, carry the bed and go. Then these people who cannot hear him say, who is that man who heals on a Sabbath and tells you to carry a bed on a Sabbath? You who has a Sabbath, what have you done for me? You on a Sabbath. So now you see there are people who are like that. The man who told me that to carry my bed. He doesn't, Sabbath or no Sabbath, for me I'm healed. 38 years. Now, we'll say, you've just come out of university. Who do you think you are? You've just said, relax. Everything that is said privately will be said where? Publicly. Everything. So me, I've already finished doing my private thing. Now I'm waiting for you to be manifested publicly. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. How many of you are going to do something? You know, some of you people are just hearers of the word and not doers. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to, and now there is a quickening from the Lord to make some of these things happen even very fast. Amen?
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amara The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.